Welcome to Ecclesia Principles, a biblical strategy for restoring America, with your host, Ray Eppert.
Us again. Today, we're continuing our look into jurisdictions. Very quickly, the word jurisdiction is a compound word, originally comes from Latin. Juris meaning legal or lawful. Diction dealing with speech or to say. So when you put jurisdiction together, it means lawful speech or whoever has the right to say, who has the authority to say. That's what a jurisdiction is. We saw that the first jurisdiction that God made was that of the individual. We call it self-government. God, in Genesis 1, he made Adam, and he gave to him dominion over the entire earth and everything that creeps on the earth. That was self-government. So everything that comes out, every other type of jurisdiction, every other type of government, if you would, is a parceling out a portion of self-government. It moves from self-government to something else. We saw the second jurisdiction was that of the family. God made Adam, then he made Eve, which made a family. And God, Adam, he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. In other words, establish an additional household, an additional jurisdiction, another family that the first family doesn't have jurisdiction over. They don't have the right to say. He leaves and cleaves to his wife. At that point, that's a dividing out or a parceling out of that self-government jurisdiction. Now, we saw the third jurisdiction was that of faith, which is a direct correlation of self-government and family government. As an individual, you choose what God you will worship. Families have to choose their faith. In other words, there can be a couple that has a different faith. That family then has to work that out. That is under their jurisdiction. Now, today, what we're going to look at is the fourth jurisdiction. And by fourth, we're looking at it in a pecking order, if you would. The foundation of all jurisdictions is self-government. That's why our founding fathers created a government by the people, of the people, and for the people, because at that point, the self-government is the ultimate authority. Now, this fourth jurisdiction is civil government. Civil government is the fourth jurisdiction. Now, in this, we need to see that as such, and like I said, I'm doing this in the pecking order, self-government, family government, faith, because let me throw that in. You see, in faith, those choices in faith does not alleviate family government or self-government. Every person has to make their choice. Civil government is underneath all of those three. And if you would, that's why most, virtually all of the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments, all deal with things that the government is not supposed to touch, because those things are a violation of your God-given rights, your unalienable rights that are given to you through self-government, through family government, and through faith. Let's look at a couple of examples of those. Obviously, one that really comes to mind is free speech. Ultimately, free speech and even freedom of the press comes down to being able to express your thoughts, your views, and your opinions without government affecting you, without government taking retribution on you or attacking you because you don't hold a view that they like. boy, have we seen a new arm of government in recent years, where a whole lot of social media things shut down freedom of expression. And a whole lot of that's happening. See, the basic principle of self-government means I don't have to like your opinion, but you have the right to your opinion. I actually like what one fellow said, actually two analogies. He said, you know, opinions are like noses. Everybody has one and they all smell, you know. And another analogy was opinions are like armpits. Everybody has them and some of them stink. But with that, it's not up to the government to decide if your opinion is valid. If the government decides if your opinion is valid, you no longer have self-government. You no longer have that, and they have usurped that. Same thing with family. You know, a couple of the Bill of Rights in there dealt with unlawful search and seizure. They cannot come into your home without just cause. Why? Because civil government is limited. It's limited. It's underneath family government. That's why they have to have a justifiable reason to come into your home, because your home has authority over the government, unless you're violating someone's rights. Well, stay with us through this message and we'll follow this on out.
Jesus said, I will build my church, or ecclesia. Ecclesia identified those who were called out to vote on issues that determine their culture. Jesus expects us to positively influence our culture with equality, liberty, and justice for all.
We're back. We're talking today about the fourth jurisdiction, which is civil government. Now, just to give you, I'm calling it the fourth because in pecking order, self-government's first, family government second, faith is third, and then civil government is fourth. Now, in the actual development and establishment of jurisdictions, civil government actually comes in third. God created civil government third. Now, if you would, faith kind of got established through Jesus into that place. You could even point it out into Israel. But the bottom line is, in Genesis, we see God give Adam dominion. Then we see him create the family and identifies, for this cause shall man leave his father and mother, a separate jurisdiction. And then in Genesis 9, after the flood, God establishes the concept of civil government. Now, it's in its infancy form as far as communication, but in Genesis chapter 9, beginning with verse 5, he says, talking to Noah, surely for your lifeblood, I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast, I will require it. From the hand of every man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Verse 6, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. So now, in this, if you would, God gave humanity there in Genesis chapter 9 the ability, civil government, he gave it the ability to ensure the rights of the people. See, God gave humanity the right to life. You know, again, in our Declaration of Independence, it talks about we're all created equal and have been given by our Creator certain unalienable rights, among these being life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. See, God, if you look at the Ten Commandments, no one has the right to take your life. Thou shalt not kill. But in this, God gives civil government the right to address violations of your unalienable rights. Ultimately, that is the role of civil government. This is something the founding fathers understood. Now, in this, what they said here, I'll read part of the Declaration of Independence. I'll actually read a little extra so you'll get the context. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. In order to secure these rights, what they are saying there is it's an acknowledgement of God's purpose in Genesis 9 in the creation of civil government, that when someone's unalienable rights have been violated, that by man, we call it now civil government, has the right and the ability to step in and stop it or punish it if it can't be stopped. Now, with this, see, this is a contrast to the treatment of Cain. When Cain killed Abel, he made it to where no one was supposed to be vindictive toward Cain, where he would not be judged. He would not be mistreated because of that. Now, with this, does that mean that God doesn't want sin dealt with? No. But part of this, again, one of the things we have to understand, that much of the Bible, especially in the beginning, is tutorial. God did certain things so that we could see the problems, so that we could understand the dynamics of things. You see, from the time that Cain killed Abel till God instituted civil government, there was no means of addressing sin that was approved by God. And as such, what do we see happen in that time frame? Sin grew on the earth. And it actually tells us that the thoughts of people's hearts were evil continually. There was nothing to curb the sin. There was nothing to curb the evil. God put civil government in place to curb evil, to curb the sin, to make it to where when someone violated someone else's God-given rights, there was something to bring a halt to that. It wasn't there before. Civil government is there to secure the unalienable rights of the people who live in that government, that they're not supposed to take the, quote, law into their own hands, but government is to take that place and to secure those rights. And anytime rights are being violated, it is the job of civil government to ensure the correcting of that problem. We'll do more with this right after the break.
Augusta Seed, your local Augusta County seed corn distributor since 1977. Producing more bushels per acre for a greater harvest. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3:2. From your friends at Augusta Seed, buy local. Find them on the web at AugustaSeed.com.
You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
All right, we're back. Now, at the very end of the last segment, I got into a little bit about what is the legitimate purpose of civil government. That God in Genesis 9 established civil government for the protecting of people's unalienable rights. Now, there's a phrase that gets used a lot, and especially right now, it's being used in such a way that's causing us to miss the real meaning of the phrase. And that is when somebody defends the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic, very often now, that whole concept is dealt with in regards to terrorists, whether terrorists inside the country, outside the country, nations attacking from outside the country, or attacking from within. But in reality, I mean, that is a part of it. But when it comes to civil government protecting the rights of the citizens, that is protecting those rights against those who would attack those rights, whether foreign or domestic. That's really, because civil government, the legitimate role of civil government is the protecting and the securing of our unalienable rights. At that point, the way you could put it is that the purpose of civil government is the protecting of all people's rights. That's what civil government has been put in place for. To be this, in one sense, by design, it's supposed to be almost like an independent third party that, you know, especially if two people have a squabble and one hurts the other, there's an independent party out here that is able to judge, understand. In an ideal world, that's the way it's supposed to work. But civil government, even the part about, you know, the enemy's foreign, at that point, if an enemy tries to attack us, what are they typically going to try to do? They're going to try to take from us our unalienable rights. They're either going to kill us, take our liberty away from us, definitely impact the pursuit of happiness on our part. Our government is supposed to ensure and secure those rights to us from foreign enemies, that our life is not to be taken, our liberty is not to be infringed upon, and the pursuit of happiness is able to continue to move forward. Civil government is for the protecting of those rights. That is its initial and intentional design. That is the original intent of government, civil government, by God. God told Noah, again, you know, by man, up until the flood, no, man couldn't do it. There was no institution to take care of it. Now, you see, ultimately, out of all the jurisdictions, God has only given three of them the authority to discipline. Now, see, self-government, it's yourself. You know, okay, you're going to discipline yourself. Well, that's not a separate party. But in family, the family has been given the rod of correction. It's been given the rod of correction to train up their children in the way they should go. Then faith, and again, this one isn't quite to the same degree, but, you know, Paul talked about, turning people over to Satan or excommunicating them, so forth, that it has a way to deal with the evil. The third group that has the authority to discipline is the civil government. God gives the civil government the authority to discipline when someone is violating someone else's unalienable rights. When that violation takes place, civil government is given the authority by God to step in and address that and even mete out punishment in regard to it. It is established by God. So with that understanding, civil government has a place. It has a purpose. This is why in Romans 13 it calls government officials ministers of God. Now, here's the thing. They don't always function as ministers of God. If they're not following biblical practice and biblical definition of things, then they're not functioning as a minister of God. They're either doing their own thing or advancing some other agenda. But God initially designed that for the protection of rights. As the founding fathers put it, in order to secure these rights, governments are established. Stay with us for our last segment.
Want to make a difference in your community? Check out cityelders.com or search City Elders Augusta County, Virginia. City Elders exist to influence government spiritually, politically, and economically so that life is protected, liberty is defended, Christ is exalted, and families can flourish. See about helping start a group in your area. You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppert, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
All right, we're back. We're talking about the fourth jurisdiction, which is civil government. Now, again, we stated that it was the third one established by God. It's one of three that God has given the ability or right to discipline those involved in it. But we've listed it fourth because in the pecking order, civil government is under faith. Civil government is under family government. Civil government is under self-government. In other words, if you were to create a flow chart, at the top of that flow chart, biblically, number one would be God. But then the first jurisdiction underneath of that, God, who is sovereign, took all of out of all of his dominion, he gave Adam dominion over the earth. If you would, he separated that out. He gave Adam dominion over the earth. Then he made Eve. He made a family. Now, there's parts that each individual still has. Eve was responsible for herself in regard to eating of the tree. Adam was responsible for himself in eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But collectively, as a couple, as a family, they were responsible for the tending and keeping of the garden. That was a separate new jurisdiction that they shared. Then the third jurisdiction on that flow chart comes through self-government again. The jurisdiction is faith. The individual gets to choose whether or not they're going to obey God or not obey God. But then also there is an import or an impact from the family government, because in that situation, the two spouses that create that family, they both have their self-government, their own personal views and opinions, but they also have this shared jurisdiction. And so from that standpoint, they have to find a way to make that work. And so again, civil government is below faith because part of their individual jurisdiction is who they choose to follow, who they choose to believe. So faith ends up coming in above the civil government. Then the civil government, according to Genesis 9, we see as a protector, or as the founding fathers wrote, a security, or civil government is designed to secure these rights. It comes in there fourth. We see this even in our founding documents. It's a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. That's individual self-government. You look at the Bill of Rights, no unlawful search and seizure, no quartering of soldiers, so forth and so on. Then you also see faith, no establishment of religion, no prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Why? Because that is an individual and a family choice. None of that is in the jurisdiction of federal government or state government or local government. That is individual and family choice, faith. All of that is above the jurisdiction of government. Government is not to have a say in those issues. And again, with that, the unlawful search and seizure, if there is a violation in any of these other jurisdictions, then the civil government, with just cause, has the right to go in to make sure that no one's rights are being violated. Civil government is to be the protector of all people's rights. That is God's initial design and purpose for it. So it is that fourth one that is more of a protector, and it secures the rights. It is not the bestower of rights. It is not the one that is designed to tell you what your rights are. No, it is a recognition of the rights that the Creator has given. That is what God established, and in reality, it's what our founding fathers set out to establish. It wasn't perfect, but it's the best thing this planet has seen. God bless you. Join us again next week.
You've been listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard. Follow us on podbean.com. Also available on Facebook at Liberty Justice HQ and online at libertyjusticehq.com.